My name is Ernie. I'm going to share the a devotion today, or I would say Bible study. And yeah, I'm so excited to share this, and we're going through together. So before that, let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great day. Truly, you make all things beautiful in your time. And I do believe, Lord God, this is your great time, and this is the day, Lord God, that you have made, and we will rejoice. For you have stored, and you will reveal the truth of your wonderful, great, and marvelous word. We pray, Holy Spirit, God, to open our heart and our mind, our spirit of understanding, that may able, Lord God, to truly grasp the wonderful truth of your word. And even, Lord God, those listening online, God, I pray that make their time and even their place available as they join us, God, these wonderful EMPs, oh Lord God, every day. Thank you, Father God, for your precious blood of the Lord Jesus covering us as we listen and receive your word. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we put in the screen Leviticus 23, and I hope that you have read while you are waiting for our 10 minutes devotion. So I will read Leviticus 23, only verse 1 and 2. And then as we go along, we're going to read the whole chapter. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy, convocations. These are my feast." And if you read throughout the verse 23, all these feasts had been laid out and written by Moses as the Lord our God instructed him to give. And I've been praying for this topic. Actually, I would say it is a Bible study, and I hope that we're going to, by God's grace and will, we're going to journey together and studying this feast of the Lord. Probably, when I ask a question of you, when is the last time that you heard a sermon or preaching about a feast? And when was the last time that you read a book about the feast? Or probably some of you, probably it's a long time ago that I heard about the feast of the Lord, saying in Leviticus 23. Or probably others may say, what is the feast? What is the feast of the Lord? Or other, if you are a Bible scholar, you might say, I have these different questions. And in fairness, that's probably more of all of the Christian or all of us here probably heard and familiar about what is Passover. You know, probably you heard that Passover feast, and probably you heard that feast of Pentecost. That is part of the feast of the Lord that he spoke at reading in chapter 23. But it's not all. That is part of the feast that the Lord are given unto us. You know, why I'm saying, I told you a while ago that I'm praying, I think almost 5 years ago, I'm praying, Lord, when will I going to share this to SP? I just waited for 5 years, and then last Friday, I received the confirmation when they blow the shofar in SP. First time in 11 years in SP, first time I heard that the shofar is blow in the congregation and even in the front of this sanctuary, and said, Lord, I know this is not the God signal. That's why we're going to a journey together in studying the feast of the Lord. You know, way back in the Philippines, we are part of a small pioneering church, which is started in 1991. We are then employees of our employer, and then when the Lord called them to be a full-time in the ministry. It is a Christian company. When the Lord called them to be a full-time in the ministry, then they spoke to us one by one and told them that the Lord are calling them in the ministry. And then said, are you going to join us? And then me and my wife, Shimi, joined them to pioneer the church. So 1991 is almost 20 years now, and still we are still connected in that church, even right now. And in the early 3 years of the ministry of the church, we believe, and the whole church believe, that the Lord are leading us to observe or celebrate the feast of the Lord. Now, the number one aim, goal for that is to fully understand what is this feast of the Lord. And then we start celebrating it. And that time, my eyes are opened to what is the feast is all about. But even then, it is so limited understanding that I have known or received on what is the feast of the Lord. But praise and glory to God. When, you know, when I'm praying this and then continue studying, even then when we receive that instruction from the Lord, now the Lord's continue revealing. And then as I have continued to research, I have come across with these wonderful teachings about Feast of the Lord. It is written by I. Gordon. Most of the teaching that I'm going to share is about I. Gordon. He even not put his first name. But if you're so, you know, willing also to know, I can, you know, you can email me at spil@sphk.org. I can give you this, you know, this resources, which is, you know, it's so wonderful. So whatever we think about the feast is hardly at all. I can honestly say that this is a very important topic to study once again. It is one that will only become all the more important as we edge closer to the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of this feast. Today we're just going to do the overview, and hopefully by the grace of God we can finish this overview of the feast. If not, I will going to continue on Saturdays during the CMP. And this is a more than a month studies. We are going not to put too deep details, but just to only to understand what is the feast of the Lord is. Because we have only around 20 to 30 minutes for every meeting. So every Wednesday, I'm going to share this feast unto you. So let me open up by some of the questions so that it will not crush your confidence, you know, in listening or of this topic. First question is, what nation or people were the feast is given to? Second, in the Bible, who came up with the idea of having feast? Third, in the Bible, when was the first mention of any of the feast? How many feasts were there? Can you name all the feasts in order? Six, in terms of timing of this feast, are they split in any way? Seven, what is the spiritual purpose in giving the feast? What does the split timing of the feast teach us about the Messiah's work of redemption? Nine, are believers told to keep the feast today? And last one, 10 is, what should we focus on we study this feast? So let's try to answer and look the answer one by one. First, what nation or people were the feast given to? In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1, we read that the Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, speak to the son of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as a holy convocation, my appointed feast, my appointed times are this. So the feasts were given to the nation of Israel as part of their law to celebrate each year. Thus, they often called the Feast of Israel. They were not given to any other nations, nor were they given to the church, but as the Lord's appointed times. We can learn a great deal from them, as we shall see. Second question, in the Bible, who came up with the idea of having feasts? Reading the Leviticus chapter 1, 23, verse 1 and 2, and it is God who has initiated and have the idea that he gave this feast to the nation of Israel, and Moses wrote it. It is God who has the idea and gave this feast to the nation of Israel. Third, in the Bible, when was the first mention of any of the feasts? The first mention is when Israel as a nation was preparing to leave Egypt in Exodus. If you remember that in Exodus chapter 12, this is where God first taught about the Passover and the unleavened bread. After that full instruction in chapter 12 of Exodus, for all the feasts were given by God to Moses when the law was given at Mount Sinai. Question number four, how many feasts were there? So we mentioned the feast of Passover and the feast of the Pentecost. You know, as you mentioned that God is perfect, and I think you know what is the answer. There are seven feasts of the Lord that is given to the nation of Israel. Of course, there are some other feasts that Israel done in the culture, but there's specifically seven feasts given by God to Moses, indicated in Leviticus chapter 23. So there are seven appointed feasts that the Lord are given to the people of nation. Number five, can you name all the feasts in order? First feast is what we call Passover, which is we already said. The second feast is the unleavened bread, that is also written all in chapter 23 of Leviticus. The third is the feast of the first fruits. The fourth is the feast of Pentecost or weeks. The fifth is feast of the trumpets, or what we call the Rosh Hashanah. That's why when the blow of the shofar last Friday, that is part of the feast. Feast of the trumpets. And the feast of atonement, Yom Kippur, and a feast of tabernacle, which is Sukkot. So there are seven feasts of the Lord given to the people or nation of Israel. Now six, in terms of timing of these feasts, are they split in any way? Yes, the feasts are split into two groups that can be summarized in spring feast and autumn or fall feast. These seven feasts of God had been split in two, spring and autumn or fall feast. Now, the four spring feasts are Passover, Feast of the Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruit, and Feast of Pentecost. That is the spring feast given by the Lord. And the fall or autumn feast is Feast of the Trumpet, the Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. Between two, spring and autumn, they are almost approximately 4 months away of in between these two split feasts. The last spring feast is Feast of Pentecost or Feast of Weeks. And the first autumn feast is the Feast of the Trumpets. Now listen carefully. Even in the online, if you are doing something, if you're listening and reading something, pause what you're reading and listen carefully, starting this question number seven. What is the spiritual purpose in giving the feast? At the natural level, each of these feasts celebrated some aspect of Jewish history, but God has given them for far greater reason than that, than just observing it. God has given this feast to foretell in advance the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, in a specific relation to his death, resurrection, and return. Simply put, this feast is so amazing. Hallelujah. I was so excited when I'm reading this. These are absolutely specific, even given to the exact, giving the exact days of the year in which this event will occur. They are God's calendar for the order and details of the most significant events in the history of the world. These seven feasts, God are given to the nation of Israel to be the calendar of the significant, of the future significant events that will be coming or in the history of the world. That is the spiritual purpose of giving in this feast. Number eight. What does the split timing of the feast teach us about in the Messiah's work of redemption? This is a fascinating aspect of this feast. As we mentioned, there are four feasts in the spring festival, and there are three feasts in the autumn, and there are 4 months gap between. The separation signifies the two coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. The separations of this feast, the spring and the autumn, signifies the two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the spring festival, the Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruit, and the Pentecost is deal with the resurrection of Christ, death and resurrection of Christ, and the coming and sending of the Holy Spirit. This whole spring festival has been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, and resurrection, and in the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The later, the autumn feast, which is the Feast of the Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacle, all deal with the events at the end of the age, including the rapture, the resurrection of the dead, and the second coming of Christ, and the long-awaited messianic kingdom on earth, which we can say the millennium period or the 1,000 reigning years on earth. Combined, this feast speaks of the total work of Christ redeem mankind in this planet. And it is all laid out in advance. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. I'm sorry, I'm excited. Question number 9. Are believers in Christ told to keep the feast today? Probably that's the question running in your mind. This is also an interesting question. The church is not under the law to outwardly keep the feast as the nation of Israel was told to do. That is clear. In fact, there are verses of warning when believers go back under this and other aspects of the law in the attempt to win favor and righteousness with God. This is what the Galatian church tried to do, and note Paul's concerns and disappointment with them. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 and 11, I read. But now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. How is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I labored over you in vain. This is some concern on the Galatian church that Apostle Paul is addressing. But look on his letter and the church of Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to the religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Let me repeat that. These are the shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So we are not under the obligation to keep the feast or the festival because they were a shadow of the reality that is in Christ. So the church are not under obligation to keep the peace. But as a shadows or types, we can certainly learn from them, for God has hidden in store a many important truths in them. It should also be noted that there is a spiritual way in which we'll still keep this feast, and spiritual person aspect will also be explored as we continue with our study. It was this spiritual, not natural or outward, that Paul spoke about when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Now, Paul are addressing the church in Corinth to celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Apostle Paul addressing this to the church of Colossians. Now we are going, let's celebrate the feast, but not in the old thinking way. But we will celebrate the feast in a new and living, or not focus on earthly things or just an outward a celebration, but focus on the spiritual things with sincerity and truth. Question number 10. What should we focus on as we study this fast? What should we focus on? We read about the festival where shadows of the reality that is in Christ. So this is what we should focus, the reality in Christ. We are not trying to learn so that we have more knowledge and for the knowledge's sake. Amen? Let me repeat that. We are not trying to learn this feast of the Lord to have more knowledge and for the knowledge's sake alone. We are trying to learn more about Jesus Christ and our life in Him. Studying all the minute details that the Jews did outwardly at this feast is only helpful to the extent that it can be applied to one of the following aspects. One, the messianic significance. This is the work of Christ at His first coming, as well as what He will do leading up to His return and kingdom rule. Let me repeat that. This is the work of Jesus Christ at His first coming, as well as what He will do leading up to His return and His kingdom rule. And the second significance is the personal significance. This is the spiritual outworking of the truth of this feast into our lives today. These two points combined are summed up in the term, the reality that is in Christ. That will be our focus. So what exactly is the feast then? Leviticus chapter 23 verse 2. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as a sacred assembly. So this is part of the law. The Lord our God said, this is a feast that you have to call all the people of Israel in a public and observe this feast. Now there are two important words in the scripture that we read. And we need to concentrate in order for us to help to understand exactly what is the feast. First word is the feast that mentioned in the scripture, and the second is assemblies or convocation in other or some other version. Now, if you are like with me, when you hear the word feast, since I like eating, especially if there's seafoods, probably when I heard the feast, wow, a lot of food, especially in the Philippines, when you say feast, it's really, truly a feast of so many foods. Now, if you like me, maybe probably that is your thinking when you heard the feast. No, it's all about food, but it is not. The true meaning of feast in the Hebrew word is moed. I hope that I'm pronouncing correctly, which means an appointment that is fixed time or season, specifically a festival. That is the meaning in Hebrew of the feast. The second interesting word is the assemblies or convocations. The Hebrew meaning of this word is mikra, which means something's called out that is public meeting. But it also has thought of rehearsal or practice. So God was setting up a fixed time during the year when the nation and the people of Israel would be called out to gather together every year to rehearse the coming future events. Let me repeat that. The meaning of the feast that the Lord is giving us is, so God was setting up a fixed time during the year when the nation of Israel would be called out, all the people of Israel, nation of Israel, called out to gather together. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, when Joseph and Mary, the feast of Passover, they have to go to Israel to celebrate it. So they are observing that. Called out to gather together every year to rehearse future coming events. God would get them to rehearse this year after year, and whatever is that they had to rehearse for centuries on end, it must be important. So the feast that God are giving to the people of Israel is not just a calendar, but it is an event that the people of Israel, God are preparing them to rehearse, practice all the people of Israel for the coming future event, which is the first or the spring festival, the first four festival. It is already fulfilled in the death, in the burial, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, when you count after the resurrection or burial of the Lord, 50, feast of weeks, seven weeks, 50 days with Pente, 50 days, is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are three more remaining feasts in fall and autumn. So all of these feasts, what we find is that of the feasts find their fulfillment in the life of the Messiah, Jesus. And that God's plan to redeem this world, specifically the feasts center on the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit indwelling, the rapture and the resurrection of believers, the second coming of Christ, and finally, the coming of Messianic kingdom. That is the half of the overview. If you want to listen to the other half, please join us this coming Saturday and CMP, and I'll be sharing and layout thing, when this seven feast is given, what is the significant in the Messianic kingdom of God, and what are the personal significance into our life today. So let's me park for that a moment as we go on to worship the Lord. So may we call on Karja. in John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus are sharing to these disciples about the sowing and the reapers, the sower and the reapers. Said that you are reaping what you did not sow. Somebody already are laboring it. I might say that I am part of the reapers. These great teachings had been already somebody and many are sowing, digging, cultivating, researching so that we now in our age could reap what they haven't sown. The Lord Jesus said in chapter 4, verse 36, 38, both in the sower and the reapers will rejoice and will gather the fruit in the life eternal. I have so little of understanding, but praise and glory to God that He's revealing this to us, the church, that we should aware of what is coming in the future. It has been laid down thousands of thousands of years ago, 7,000 more years ago. Even the Israelites are practicing. Even they don't know what is they are doing. But God knows what He is doing. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your great truth. Help us to be have a new wineskin, removing that old and living breath in receiving and understanding Your word, but to receive and understand with unleavened, oh Lord, just like an unleavened breath, that Lord God, it's like a new coming unto us. Help us, the Holy Spirit, to fully grasp an open heart and mind to receive the buried truth of Your word of God. Thank You, Father God, for this truth. Thank You, God, for those who labors and sow and dig and cultivate and truly, God, Your revelation has been given to them and for us as a sower, as a reaper, to joy in sharing this wonderful and magnificent truth of Your word, the totality and the calendar of Your works in the redeeming this planet. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. So let's go on to our prayer for our community. Let's continue to pray for the community that's battling cancer, undergoing chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. Pray that God will lay hands upon them to manifest the power of His healing, grace, strengthening them. Faith will arise that God is with them. Let's pray. Also pray for all those having illness, non-cancer illnesses and needing of the words of salvation. Let's lift up. Let's also lift up those who are having infirmities. God, the word of the Lord said that by His stripes we are healed. So let's pray for faith. Continue to rise. Pray, you know, that the healing grace of the Lord flow in your life and receive miracles and restore that very part of their body to heal by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Also lift up those who are suffering COVID, affected by COVID, and those who are in the frontline medical workers. Let's pray. Also pray for those who are praying for jobs. Pray for the favor of the Lord. Pray for His provision. Pray for the open door. Pray for the faith and patience to continue to arise in their heart. Let's pray. Also pray for Mission Focus, pray for China SPBJ, SPSH, and the Chung Church in mainland. Let's pray. Also lift up a word. Let's pray. Also lift off a fellowship, men's ministry, Monday lunchtime prayer, the pure desire, women's ministry, Tuesday lunchtime prayer, betrayal, and beyond support group. Wow, praise God. So let's lift off that God will use so mightily on this fellowship. Be a God Christ-centered fellowship, and let His word be declared and be used for His glory and for His honor. Let us pray. Also pray for our SB 2.0 building resources, benefactor, and vision fund. Let us pray. Also pray for the pregnant women and mom in our community. Pray for Fiona, Leslie, Dayon, and others. Pray for the covering and protection for the mom and the baby. Good health, both the mom and the baby. Joy of the parents, and you know, a smooth delivery, and preparing them body, soul, and spirit as the wonderful blessing of child coming in. In the family. Let us pray. Lift up those who are meeting house church tonight. Blue Pool, Chidi, Fortress, Jaya Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TSD, and Westville. Let's pray for the joy and wonderful fellowship, God and Christ-centered fellowship, praying for the protection upon them. And yeah, just enjoying the presence of God in their fellowship. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, God, for hearing our prayers, oh God. And thank you, oh Lord God, for your revelation of your truth of your word. Pray, God, to seal all the prayers, and praying, God, the perfect timing that, Lord God, you will, Lord God, unveil, Lord God, and that you will see, oh God, the answer of our prayers. Said in your word, taste and see that the Lord is good. We bless you, we honor you, God. Thank you, God, for continue giving us, Lord God, this truth to ponder in our heart and mind and our spirit. And bless us as we continue to receive and embark this journey to understand this seven feast. By your grace, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church, and see you again tomorrow.